There is still work to do to get to a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. That's what Secretary of State John Kerry said today from Israel, where he met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. Meanwhile, the fighting raged on in Gaza, which is just one of many foreign policy crises facing the Obama administration right now. And here to talk about that is Nicholas Burns of Harvard's Kennedy School. He was U.S. ambassador to NATO and served on the National Security Council under Presidents Bush and Clinton. He's with us from New York. Nick, welcome back.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, let's start with the crisis in Gaza. And we should remember that this entire thing started after three Israelis were kidnapped and killed. Now we have reached basically a full-scale war in which hundreds of people have died. Do you consider that a failure of U.S. foreign policy?
I don't. I don't think you can hold President Obama or the United States responsible for this. You have to hold Israel and the Palestinians responsible. I would say objectively, Hamas started this. Hamas has fired missiles indiscriminately and cynically at Israeli cities. And if there's one principle that I think most people can agree on, you have a right to defend yourself. And so Israel has a right to defend itself from these rockets. On the other hand, Israel cannot hope to win a military victory over Hamas. Gaza is one of the most densely populated places on earth. It's Hamas's home territory. Hamas has proven to be effective in that kind of street-to-street fighting. So I think that the U.S. calculation that Secretary Kerry and President Obama are operating under, that we've got to achieve a ceasefire, is the right one, because neither side can win this. There's intolerable bloodshed. Israelis shouldn't have to live in bomb shelters, and the number of dead, particularly children, in Gaza among the Palestinians is simply intolerable. So I think the U.S. actually is right to try to stop this fighting for both sides.
But if neither side can win this, then shouldn't the U.S. have made a bigger effort early on to try to stop any retaliation from going on at all and just get the two sides talking to each other?
Well, I think the U.S. did do that. Certainly, that's what the White House and the State Department were trying to do. But, this crisis snowballed, as you know. But once Hamas began to fire tens of rockets on a daily basis towards Jerusalem, towards Haifa, towards Tel Aviv, towards Ashdod and Ashkelon, the Israelis had to protect their civilian population. I think there's widespread international understanding of that point. Where I think the Israeli consensus has broken down is now the fact that Israel has taken the war in such a tough way, an unyielding way, right into Gaza, into civilian neighborhoods. Now, I think the Israeli government is an ethical government. I think it's trying to get at Hamas. But when you launch airstrikes, invariably there will be civilian casualties. And we've seen that now in the hundreds in Gaza. So I do think that the ceasefire is needed. Now, what the Israelis would like, they'd like a ceasefire agreement that entails a commitment by Hamas to dismantle some of the network of tunnels that go into the State of Israel from Gaza that present a long-term threat to Israeli towns near Gaza. That's going to be difficult to negotiate. And the other problem is, Jeremy, that there really isn't an Arab interlocutor who can speak for Hamas. Egypt is now quite hostile, the Egyptian government, to Hamas. Qatar might be one of those countries. Turkey might be another. It's a non-Arab country, but it's Muslim. I think Secretary Kerry is looking for another Arab leader who can help convince Hamas to do the right thing and to stop the rockets on Israel.
Well, let's talk about the other major crisis going on right now, and that would be what's happening in Ukraine after this plane was shot down. Arizona Senator John McCain says the White House was cowardly, that's his word, because it did not arm the Ukrainian government when pro-Russian rebels started taking up arms in the east of Ukraine. He says with U.S. arms, the Ukrainian government would be in charge of the whole country and we would have avoided the airplane being shot down. What are your thoughts on that kind of criticism, which is not just coming from him?
Well, I think that what President Obama has been trying to do is to unite NATO on this issue, to establish tough sanctions against the Russian government, because Putin is clearly sending sophisticated military technology to these Russian separatists in Ukraine, including that SA-11 weapon system that shot down the Malaysian airliner. That American effort has not gone so well because the Europeans have balked and resisted the kind of tough sanctions that the U.S. is willing to undertake. Why? Because Europe is hooked on Russian natural gas. Europe has a big trading relationship with Russia that they don't want to put under threat.
Even with the plane being shot down, you don't think that was a game changer for Europe?
I do think it's a game changer. I think you're already beginning to see the United Kingdom, for instance. Prime Minister Cameron made a tough statement in the House of Commons yesterday saying that Europe must, for its own self-respect and credibility, now go forward to sanction Russia in a very tough way. There'll be some holdouts. And as you know, the EU has to operate by consensus. So everybody's got to agree among 27 governments. But I think given what's happened and given the culpability that rests with Moscow for protecting the Russian fighters, you will see in a week or so, within the week, tougher sanctions. And I think that's what the president has tried to do. Arming the Ukrainian government itself, I do think there is merit for the United States giving military support to that government so that it can wrest back its own territory, control of a territory from these Russian militia. The Ukrainian military is in very rough shape. It doesn't have modern technology. It's not organized well. It's going to be a long-term effort to help them. But in the short term, on a principled basis, we should be supporting the efforts of the Ukrainian government to gain back control over those big cities in eastern Ukraine like Donetsk, and that's the center of the fighting today. Without that, Ukraine will be a fractured state, exactly what Putin intends for it.
Well, and this all puts the Obama administration in a very difficult position. The latest New York Times CBS poll shows 58% of Americans disapprove of the president's handling of foreign affairs. That's a 10% jump in disapproval in a month. And at the same time, the polls consistently show that Americans don't want to see the U.S. get more directly involved in these conflicts. What's the president to do in the minute or so we have left?
I think he's got a lead. The polls do show that the American people, after the Great Recession and the two big wars, don't want big undertakings overseas by our government. But on the other hand, we're the global leader. We live in a highly integrated global 21st century where all of our economic and political interests are tied up with what happens in the rest of the world. So President Obama has no choice but to send Secretary Kerry to negotiate the Gaza ceasefire, lead the Western alliance to deter Putin, and cope with all the other problems from the Syrian civil war to the Iraq civil war to the problems of a newly resurgent China. This is a very tough time, and it does call for very strong presidential leadership.
Nicholas Burns of Harvard's Kennedy School. He was the U.S. ambassador to NATO and served on the National Security Council under Presidents Bush and Clinton. And by the way, didn't even bring up Iran, which is another whole other foreign policy crisis. There is a whole list of them. Nick Burns, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.